And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, we are Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. Good morning. Thank you for being here. You know, I was looking at some of these numbers here, and Eric and I asked a question a couple of weeks ago when they talk about here, we're talking about the great migration continues as more Americans flee to Florida and Texas. And it says the growing number of Americans are migrating from predominantly blue states with steep taxes like California, New York, to states with lower taxes like Florida and Texas, according to a Bank of America analyst note that was based on aggregated and anonymous internal customer data. And they said, we constructed near real-time estimates of domestic migration flows and found that pandemic migration trends are not reversing. Since the first quarter of 2023, the data suggests that cities that saw a large influx of people during the pandemic have been growing faster than other cities in recent quarters. And then they mention here, they say that let me just get the right page here. They said among the 23 major metropolitan areas in the country, Austin, Texas, saw the biggest influx of people during the first 2 years of the pandemic, as well as over the past four quarters. This is the problem here. They say the net population of the Texas capital jumped by 1.5%. That's not actually numbers of people. That's a percentage. Because I found other data. I went, that's not true. From what I know, the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area where I live, where we broadcast from, population-wise, has had the biggest increase, and just found a story from 3 weeks ago. Dallas-Fort Worth Metro had the most significant increase in metro area populations across the country, with 170,000 people added in 1 year. Wow. And that is, that would be from 2021 to 2022. All right, so maybe, okay, I see what they're saying, because that goes from that point, and they're saying this analysis shows in 2023. But still, 170,000 in 1 year. That's even faster growth rate than I've seen since I've been here for 23 years. And I did see, when I moved here, I think it was 5.5 million was the metro. It's now 7.9 million here in the Dallas area, which is huge growth when you think about it. I mean, just absolutely unbelievable growth. And it's actually, if you take what happened in 2021, 2022, we'll see what it is, you know, coming up to, you know, the Census Bureau data that will estimate it, I believe, coming up on July 1st of this year, whether it continues. But that's way over what the population increase has been over the last, 23 years on average since I've been here. And so we've talked about the population shift, and the fact is of the point that since the pandemic is over, and I guess with the information I'm looking at from 2021 to 22 would be considered pandemic. And since that point, it's, you know, post-pandemic, but the population is still growing tremendously. And we've said, what's going to happen to these liberal cities? What's going to happen? When you take a combination of crime, defund the police, what the DAs have done, the taxes, people that are rich that are moving to lower tax places that because of the progressive income tax are paying way over. You know, they're paying the millionaires, as in New York when Cuomo was talking about the fact that when he was governor way back when, that we got to do something that we can't, I can't support the millionaires tax because these millionaires can move and they pay over 40% of the taxes. A couple thousand people pay the vast majority of the taxes. We can't lose them. When you become a progressive state and you do that, that's what happens. And when they leave and you have these huge budgets, as we gave you the example, New York has doubled, has fewer people than Florida, yet twice the size of the state budget. Well, when the rich move, then you have to tax. You can't go into debt. So you've got to tax the middle class and the poor. And how do you do that? That's when you put in the stealth tax and say, the rich people are moving, so we need to tax the corporations, those evil rich corporations, which, of course, is a stealth tax on the middle class that hurts the poor the most. But what happens? When this cycle starts, what do you do? When you've got to the point where you've taxed to the point where anybody who can move or a significant portion of those who can move do move, and the rest wish they could move and can't move because they can't afford even the move, what do you do as a state? What do you do as a downtown area? What's going to happen to Portland? What's going to happen to San Francisco? What's going to happen to Chicago? What's going to happen to New York in a couple of decades? And it's a combination of everything. High taxes, therefore high prices. Defund the police. DA soft on crime. Crime through the roof. People don't feel secure. How do you reverse that? And then you look at Chicago. Oh, we have a liberal mayor. Got to get rid of this mayor because of crime. All right, let's put in a more liberal mayor who believes more in defunding the police. Oh yeah, that'll work. What happens to these cities? This story from National Review, Ryan Mills, the owner of two of San Francisco's largest downtown hotels, is stopping mortgage payments and going into foreclosure on the properties, stating the city faces major challenges and that reducing exposure to the market is in the best interest of investors. Thomas Baltimore, CEO of Virginia-based company, called the decision very difficult but necessary, noting record-high downtown office vacancy. Oh, by the way, the other thing is, yes, working from home. Concerns over street conditions reduce convention business. Street conditions means what? Crime. After much thought and consideration, we believe it's in the best interest for the stockholders to materially reduce our current exposure to the San Francisco market. Now, more than ever, we believe San Francisco's path to recovery remains clouded and elongated by major challenges, both old and new. The announcement comes less than a week after the San Francisco Travel Association launched a $6 million campaign, its biggest ever, to lure tourists back to San Francisco. The Always San Francisco campaign calls San Francisco the most beautiful city in the world. It features images of iconic San Francisco landmarks, opening with a drive across the Golden Gate Bridge, the opening ad of scenes of people dancing, drinking, and eating, and includes one pink-haired drag queen, Lady Camden, a one-time contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. Tourism is vital to the city's economic recovery, said the Travel's president and CEO in a prepared statement. He added the campaign is designed to show the authentic San Francisco experience people love and dream about. I've only been to San Francisco once. Actually went to a wedding in Marin County in a barn. It was a beautiful barn. It was a great wedding. But I actually stayed in San Francisco for a day and did all the tourist stuff, and it was wonderful. This goes back to 1998, so 25 years ago. Yeah. Now, I did have the one experience. I was there with my girlfriend at the time, and we were walking down a street, and there was a guy there holding a sign. And it said, I'm collecting money. I need money. I quit my job because my boss forces me to work overtime. We were there all day. It was like 8 in the morning. We passed by him. At 8 at night, 12 hours later, he was still there. And I'm like, I need to talk to this guy. She's pulling me away. No, 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 don't cause. I won't cause a scene. I'm not going to cause a scene. Well, you're going to question him. Well, yeah. He said his boss makes him work overtime. Here he's doing, he's 12 hours panhandling. I have to ask him, at least ask him. And I did. I said, I came by here at 8 in the morning. You claim your complaint is you quit your job because you have to work overtime. You've been here for 12 hours. You're working overtime. And there was a group of people that came around me, and they could tell. I mean, I wasn't doing it in an angry kind of way. They, my sarcastic way. Everybody started clapping. Yay! You think that would happen today? Or would I be locked up, thrown in jail, and said, get that guy's posterior back to Texas? Okay, I wasn't living in Texas at the time, but... True story. Quickly, let us go to Charles in San Francisco. Charles, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Charles. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? Hey, good. Listen, you know, beautiful show tonight. I'll give you some bullet points because I work in the city with the city transportation department. Here's what it looks like on the street in real time. 2020. City used to brag that their transit system used to move 835,000 people Monday through Friday every day, more than the population of the city. New numbers came out. What they're moving now is 315,000.
Wow.
There is now a talk that in the neighboring city of Oakland across the bay, they have a system that runs services into San Francisco as well as the BART trains, which most people know about. They're talking roughly 60 to 65% service cuts coming in either September or October. Here's the other kicker. Cable car operators. Everybody knows the cable cars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, guess what they're doing? Cable car operators, specially trained. Well, now they're all being retrained to drive buses because cable cars are even now on the chopping block that they might have to shut down one of the lines and sub it out with buses. Used to be on the average, a cable car conductor would sell easily over 100 cash fares a day. Now the average is between 20 and 30 cash fares a day. There's some real numbers. And I will tell you, to answer your question, what's going to happen to some of these cities? I'll tell you, the Bay Area, it's going to die in a vine because the only thing keeping it going right now is the Port of Oakland down in San Jose, 50 miles south of Frisco. Hey, tech's moving out of there. It's getting too high. Even those liberals in the tech business figured that one out. San Francisco, we're talking about that. The only thing keeping the Bay Area going is that Port of Oakland. But I keep telling people, guess what? That port's got to compete with L.A. Long Beach and SeaTac up in Washington. Very scary. I really think San Francisco could approach the point to where Detroit ended up. My personal opinion, what I see on the streets.
Yeah, I just... You know, it's so sad because one of America's greatest cities, and you look at that, you look at Chicago, you look at parts of Los Angeles, you look at New York, and you just wonder what in the world, you know, how does this end? How does the cycle stop? Because there seems to be no intent of stopping the cycle. Well, you see the problem San Francisco's in right now, and the city council is discussing $5 million in reparations that would cost, as we talked about before, what, $200 to $300 billion? I mean, they continue being in a complete delusional fantasy. And it's like, what, reality doesn't matter to them. It's like, well, things have always been good. They'll always continue to be good. No, there's a reason things are good. Because people do the right thing. Wow. 866-90-RED-EYE.
It was back in December of 2018 when the United Nations voted to organize a World Food Safety Day, which would be held every June 7th, starting in 2019. The purpose?
To raise awareness and inspire action on food safety across the world in order to reduce instances of foodborne illness.
Which is a big problem globally, according to Dr. Emilio Estapan. He's the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Undersecretary for Food Safety, and he gave us some shocking numbers.
Around the globe, around 600 million people get sick because of foodborne illness every year. About 420,000 of those, almost 500,000 people, die because of foodborne illnesses.
And so he says U.S. and international groups are working together always to set food safety standards and help countries meet those standards to reduce food-related illnesses.
We're working together to make safe food for the world.
This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report is made possible by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel and Citgo Lubricants.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. You know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6. And help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. All right, economic news here. World Bank said today that global economic growth has slowed sharply in the face of higher interest rates, chronic inflation, and continued fallout from the banking crisis. The world economy is expected to expand just 2.1% this year after growing 3.1% in 2022. Advanced economies, which include the U.S., are expected to cool to a growth rate of just 0.7% this year, a marked drop from the 2.6 rate recorded in 2022 and one of the weakest growth rates. Wow. This is one of their weakest growth rates
in the last 5 decades for advanced economies, according to the World Bank Group's chief economist and senior vice president. The global economy remains in a very delicate state. Still, the newest report marks a slight improvement from the forecast laid out by the World Bank in January, when it projected world growth of just 1.7% this year. At the same time, the 2024 forecast is minus 2.4%. So they believe, the World Bank believes, we're heading into a recession next year. You know, I just look at all this and I shake my head as, you know, we talk about the population shifts, the migration shifts in the United States, and you know, the competition between states. And, you know, I said, where is this all going to end? And, you know, you look at states like Texas that have so much land and so much available land, so many companies moving here. And I just believe it's going to continue accelerating, but you just wonder what's going to happen. You know, what they predict is what, in the next 10 years, that Texas will become the biggest state in the union. Because if the population growth continues, then in 10 to 15 years, I think it is, Texas will be the bigger state, because already the difference is getting closer and closer and closer. And so you look at it, not that Florida doesn't have, you know, some land, but their land is limited by the size of the state and where their major cities are. There's just so much land here in the state of Texas. Water a problem? Yeah. I know that Texas is in the process of building more new reservoirs. They've always been in the process of doing that, you know, to collect collect the water. So I just, we're living in times, and the reason I say this is, you know, you could look at, you could, well, you know, there's been ebbs and flows. Yeah, but we're at the point where we've spent all the money. Where are you going to get it in these states? And where are you going to get it in the federal government now that the debt is so great? That's the difference.
Hi, I'm Eric Harley. Hey, join me this Thursday through Saturday, June 10th, for the 41st annual Shell Rotella Super Rigs at Camplex in Gillette, Wyoming. All the details are at redeyeradioshow.com.
And I'm Gary McNamara. You know where Eric is. He just told you. We talk about, you know, where our cities are going, and then you see this story here. City officials, this is in New York City, city officials knew drug-themed vending machines are a huge hit with local addicts who wasted no time cleaning it out overnight as they stocked up on free crack pipes, lip balm, and Narcan. "Yes, I love it," said one drug user, told the New York Post, while standing at the public health vending machine in Brooklyn on Tuesday. "They put it in yesterday. It's empty already." By 1 p.m., they were restocking the machine with more drug test strips, Narcan, and condoms, predicting the vending machine would need to be refilled maybe twice a day or more, depending on which items go quickly. "We have a lot of addicts and heroin users over here. They should restock it immediately," said one drug user. So there you go. And then this is one I love. One crack smoker had walked away with the second to last product in the vending machine, a fentanyl test strip, around 11 a.m., while sniffing that the glass used for the free crack pipes might not be up to her standards. That's what you need to bring people to the neighborhood. Have vending machines, numerous vending machines selling crack pipes. It's all part of the problem you're seeing in the liberal cities today. Enable everything. And that's what solves the problem. And we know it doesn't. All right, you ready for our audio cut of the day? All right, with all of the radical liberal transgender activist movement stories out there, Pete Buttigieg was asked about it, the transportation secretary on MSNBC. And he was asked on laws to protect girls from being forced to compete against biological males in sports. You know, I want to say that this may be the dumbest thing he's ever said, but when I just said that, I know I could see Eric looking at me going, shaking his head going, nah, he has said dumber. He may have, I don't recall it, but I'll just play it. You can listen and I'll try not to laugh as hard as I did at the beginning of the show when we played it. But it's our audio cut of the day. Here we go.
Well, our country is at very real risk of backsliding on freedom and equality. But that is exactly why we continue to push. There has been extraordinary work that's been done just in this presidency, certainly the president being able to sign the Respect for Marriage Act, for example. And if you zoom out to the progress that's been made in the last 10 or 15 years, including the ability of somebody like me to be standing here doing this job, it's extraordinary. And yet now you see the attacks on the LGBTQ community, especially on the trans community and what they are going through. And, you know, I think it's being done out of a perception that it is politically convenient to target vulnerable groups. And honestly, I think where it largely comes from is folks who don't want to talk about why they were against the infrastructure law that's building the roads and bridges.
That may be the most idiotic statement ever. Here's my analysis. It's not about the fact that people are upset that the left and the Democratic Party wishes to groom kids into the radical transgender activist movement as children and teach and provide children with sexualized content at extremely early ages and advocate that children get to decide whether they wish to mutilate their body parts. Well, that's not it. It's not that people are sick and tired of your misogynist, sexist mindset of wanting biological males to play against sports against biological females. No, it's not that. What is it about? Well, honestly, I think where it largely comes from, this whole anger at the radical liberal transgender activist movement comes from folks who don't want to talk about why they were against the infrastructure law. Do you think that after he did that interview, he said, I might have been able to come up with a better answer? That might not have been my best answer. Or did he think, wow, that was a great answer? That's what it was. Yeah. Everything that you see against Bud Light and everything that you see against Target, it's only based on the fact that these people can't justify their disagreement on the infrastructure law. That's it. I don't, you know, it's... The Wall Street Journal is warning executives that their daytime adventure into woke politics can cost them their annual bonuses. In most of these corporate suites, they're like, we don't want to be next. Jim Fielding, a former top retail executive at Claire's Stores and Disney Stores, told the Wall Street Journal for a June 6th headline article that was headlined, "Companies that have embraced social issues have second thoughts." No blank, Sherlock. One step can turn a social media storm into a corporate crisis that cripples businesses and wrecks careers, the article says, adding, over the past decade, companies have become more vocal on causes such as immigration, voting access, abortion, gay rights, racial equity. Well, you know, the voting access, as you remember, was Coke, Major League Baseball. Not only did they get involved in that, but they enabled the lie of the president and the Democrats that the Georgia election law was Jim Crow 2.0, was Jim Crow on steroids. They absolutely lied. Think about this. Major League Baseball sided with the race baiters and the racist who lied to create racial hatred in Georgia. Major League Baseball and Coke also did that, remember. So on immigration, voting, access, abortion, gay rights, and racial equity, often taking stances shared by progressives. Often. All right. Let's go to work here. Let's look at a major corporation and find a major corporation that took a conservative cause. If anyone can think of one, email me. It'd be interesting. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but normally these kind of things, if a company was saying, we support this conservative cause, odds are I would remember it. Many executives said they felt pushed by employees or customers to express an opinion on issues rippling through society. What is changing now, executives and corporate advisors said, is that conservative groups and political leaders are pushing back against companies more forcefully. Consumers are also more openly expressing frustration that companies are airing views in ways that some don't welcome. You know, I go more towards Eric on this, what Eric said, and I think it was, don't tell him I said it. I thought it was very prolific when he said that, shh, don't let him know I complimented him. Don't write that on Twitter or anything. You know it's going to appear on Twitter now. Hey, Gary complimented you. When he said, when the whole Florida stuff was going on, Disney and DeSantis, and he said, the big mistake that Disney made in this, the biggest mistake that Disney made, the Democrats made, everybody made on it, well, number one, their horrible decision that they believe that you should be teaching sexualized content to five-year-olds. But more than that, he said, they thought that this is Disney versus DeSantis. This is just left versus right. And I think he said the same thing for what happened in Virginia, you know, during the Youngkin victory, that this is simply left versus right. Because the big mistake they made is this is Disney versus the parents. The critical race theory is Disney versus the parents. Conservatives have been complaining about it for the longest time. The radical liberal transgender activist movement, we've been complaining about for 10 years, over 10 years on this show, and most conservatives really since the bathroom stuff about 2016, maybe it was 2015, 2016, where that all started, have been complaining about it. It said finally it got to the people. Because you look at the Bud Light thing, that was social media that drove that. Many executives said they felt pushed by employees or customers, and now the customers are pushing back. In the last month, the social media storms have helped to kill roughly $10 billion in stock market value at tuck-friendly Target retail stores and roughly $20 billion from Dylan Mulvaney's Bud Light partners at Anheuser-Busch. The huge losses will slash corporate bonuses for all the C-suite executives and managers, not just for a few executives that champion the populist boycotts. The ordinary shareholders were pushed off in economic cliffs by politically active middle managers, usually working hand in glove with woke CEOs and pro-diversity investors on Wall Street. But some companies are dodging the consumer pushback, partly because they are niche sellers to mostly progressive buyers. For example, outdoor retailer North Face touted a joint marketing campaign with the drag queen female impersonator that has not precipitated a backlash. The backlash has not appeared likely because consumers who would oppose the marketing already shop at other stores. And that's true. You know, the other thing is when you look at this, because we talked about Target, and now you had the 200 LGBT liberal gay organizations out there that came out and said, you know, Target, you need to restock with everything. And you cannot be neutral. They made it clear, quote, you cannot be neutral. There's no neutral. No company can be neutral. You can't say we don't get involved in it. This goes back to silence is violence. If you're silent, you're their enemy. If you don't talk about it, you're their enemy. And I started thinking, there was an article about biographer for Ted Turner, who said, you know, Ted, you know, very, very sick. He goes, but I guarantee he's furious as to what's going on with CNN right now. Absolutely livid. Well, they're in the same thing. They can't win. They can't go left. They can't go right. They can't go in the middle. They have no out. What does Target do? What does Bud Light do? Where's the out? There's no out. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric's off. All right. I just want to let you know, with the big golf merger, the PGA, the European Tour, and LIV Golf, that does not affect my status whatsoever. I'm not going to be playing on a senior international tour. All right, just so everybody knows. Hey, we talked about it. If you can listen to the podcast, we'll probably talk about it more in the next couple of days. But I've said, if, you know, because there's so much concern about, you know, Saudi Arabia. So if we want to moderate Saudi Arabia's influence and their investment fund, we can do it. You know, we're penny wise and dollar foolish over the Gulf thing. Produce more oil and natural gas. End of story. Maximize the potential of the United States like we were doing before. If you believe Saudi Arabia is a threat and you want to moderate their influence, or you believe, as we should believe, that the killing of Khashoggi was wrong, that was tied to the royal family, and you wish to punish them in some way, produce oil and natural gas. That's how you do it. That's how you blunt their influence. But we as a nation, with liberals in charge, have said we wish to commit economic, energy, and national security suicide with the delusion that we can run our society on solar and wind. And as long as we do that, if it makes you feel better to complain about it, and I've said earlier, I wouldn't play on the LIV tour. But it doesn't matter what I think. If you're talking about the big picture, which is blunting the influence of Saudi Arabia, oil, natural gas. The United States is the one country that could do that. And we refuse to do it. But we'll go crazy about the Gulf as if, you know, that's a key to it all. Now, it's the way that they're using their influence, but if they don't have the cash, they don't have the influence. It's that simple. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more. I did see that they had polled the players at the meeting. 90% of the PGA players in there were against the merger. 90.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.